Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Tsunami warning over for Hawaii. It's been downgraded to an advisory hours after a massive 8.8 earthquake shook Far East Russia. It triggered mass evacuations in Hawaii. County Mayor Kimo Alameda.
We just gave the all clear sign. We deployed out our police, fire, and our public works to make sure that those areas that were reported flooding, that there were no debris, and that, you know, residents could go back to their homes.
Among them, Camille Dahman in Honolulu.
We made sure to get to higher ground, so I am in a very tall apartment building about on the 32nd floor.
People along the California coast being warned to stay off beaches because of rip currents and dangerous surf. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Malibu.
Fortunately, the worst of the waves never materialized. Here in Southern California, about half a foot. In Hawaii, just under 6 feet.
Powerful waves crashed onto Russia's coastline, the largest as tall as 16 feet. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Nearly 70 active large-scale wildfires are burning over a million acres in the U.S. alone. And much of this wildfire activity is happening in the Pacific Northwest as well as Canada. And most of the recent ones are caused by dry lightning strikes that happened in dense, wooded areas with remote access.
This is really no different than any other year, other than the fact that it is a little bit earlier.
That's Catherine Coele, a Wisconsin DNR wildfire prevention specialist. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the fire control program staff from the state have been mobilized across the western U.S. and even into Canada to help combat the blazes.
Once you get notice of a resource order, you can be mobilized within 24 hours.
Both personnel and engines from Wisconsin have been moved to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments so far this year. But how can we afford to send resources when we have our own problems here?
You know, these experiences, they bring that back to Wisconsin. It's a way for us to improve our program here. They share those experiences. Hey, you know, we did this thing out in Oregon, and it was really cool, and there was a neat way to fight this fire, and it's those strategies are brought back to Wisconsin. So we learn and grow from those experiences when we bring those resources back.
Since we've had recent widespread rain and green vegetation across the state, wildfire activity here has subsided with a minimal fire risk in Wisconsin. Now, this has allowed the DNR to shift focus and help support national wildfire efforts. Right now, 20 different DNR staff have been moved to 12 different states, with three wildland fire engines currently stationed in Oregon. There are also six DNR staff in northern Manitoba and another DNR engine responding to fires in California. Wisconsin firefighters and engines are slated to be on assignment for about 2 weeks or until the fire severity subsides. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Brewers go for the sweep.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs today in Milwaukee, where the Brewers beat them again last night, 9-3. Bottom of the sixth, one out. Andrew Vaughn picked up in that trade with the White Sox at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
First pitch, breaking ball.
Vaughn, with a career-high 6 runs batted in, says he's just feeding off the good vibe inside the Brewers clubhouse.
You know, special group here right now. We're playing really good baseball, and it's fun to be a part of, especially when the crowd's electric like that.
NFL, the Packers training camp continues in Green Bay. Another hot and humid session in pads. Running back Marshawn Lloyd sidelined again, this time a groin injury suffered in Monday's practice. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight will drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us to talk about funding or not of Planned Parenthood. Hour number two, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, July 30th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. Coming up later this hour is our weekly homeroom segment, where we talk about education in Wisconsin, some of its strengths, opportunities, but also the threats. And one of those is the way the state funding formula works for public education. It stinks, and it has for a long time, for 30-plus years now. There is a phenomenon happening in school districts called declining enrollment. And that makes sense from a demographic standpoint, but it's exacerbated by this voucher program that is sucking money away from our public schools, so that even when there is declining enrollment in a public school district, the loss of state aid is being done in a manner that could be called disproportionate. And the system is really failing school districts, like here in Chippewa Falls. And we'll talk to two folks, a school board member and a business manager, about that along the way. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we've got a weird little crossover episode for you, where Jim Santel, the former U.S. attorney who's normally here on Fridays, will instead be part of our climate check this week with Melissa Baldoff, talking about all the different climate lawsuits that are going on in the U.S. and other countries in the world court, and how actions there, more so than, say, in Congress, might be our best hope to finally have some cleaner air around our planet. That's all coming up, but first let's get that forecast update from Brittany Merlot, where I was looking forward to, once this last bit of rain goes through, I was looking forward to, you know, something dry and comfortable, but I could see in the very early morning light this morning, looking upriver, I could right away see, oh, our friend the smoke is back. Canada continues to be on fire, and we're going to be noticing that today and tomorrow, Brittany.
Unfortunately, we sure are. It's already out there this morning. Haze across the state, statewide, an air quality alert as that wildfire smoke is back. Got winds out of the northwest, so it's dragging it here for us, and that's going to stay the case throughout the day today. Now, we are looking at comfortable temperatures. Unfortunately, not the brightest, most beautiful day. We are going to see more clouds than sunshine, pretty much mostly cloudy to overcast statewide all day, with rain and some thunderstorms far south in the state. That's already happening right now. Temperatures in the 50s up north, low 70s south. We've got heavy rain right now into Janesville, Beaver Dam area, working its way towards the Milwaukee area, probably around 8 or so. And it's packing some heavy rain at times. We've already seen an inch, a little bit over an inch in Evansville and Beloit. And of course, we are looking at up to 2 inches possible, because this rain won't stop throughout the afternoon. It actually continues into this evening and doesn't wind down until late tonight. So we could see some flash flooding potential, or some localized flooding where those storms just keep training over and over the same area again. So be careful down south today. Otherwise, less rain chances up north. You should stay mostly dry. Just some pesky clouds still in the way. Much more comfortable temperatures, though. Mid to upper 70s. And it's going to get a little breezy later on this afternoon and evening, too. So it'll feel refreshing at the very least.
Okay. Well, refreshing is good. I know that this stuff is supposed to stay to the south, and that's great. I'm still a little gun shy. I'm just far enough up north not to take the top down on the Wrangler yet.
Yeah, not today.
Because you never know when something spotty comes up. And I was looking at my Facebook memories, and it was 7 years ago when it was my first year with this Jeep. And it was that the anniversary of that date when we were out to dinner, and we started to see rain. And there was no rain anywhere. There was no line coming at us or anything. And I pull up the radar on my phone really quick, and it's like, you know, one of those little dots just kind of pops up right overhead. And thinking, okay, it'll move. It'll move, right? It didn't move. The rain kept down. It came harder and harder and harder. And the little dot went from blue to green to yellow to red like a really bad zit. And instead, it popped all over my Jeep Wrangler and filled it with 2 to 3 inches of rainwater.
And then you found out that Wranglers have plugs, drain plugs at the bottom, right?
Yeah. My friends were like, aren't you going to go do something about that? I'm like, what can I do? It's already raining like crazy. But the next day was hot and sunny. You pull those drain plugs out. You pull the floor mats out. And 24 hours later, it was good as new, by and large. But, you know, for that moment that is happening, you're thinking of all the places one little black rain cloud could show up and just dump on you. It was
that. That was your storm.
That was my
just
storm.
For you.
Yes. So I had been hoping to, you know, take the roof down, but no, not so much.
Not yet.
Let's see. I'm looking at Tom in Hartford on the text line. Brittany, make the smoke go away. Can't do that.
I'm trying.
Not in her job description.
It's not working.
Lori from Hayward, can you please give a special shout out to Jack Krzyzewski, 101-year-old World War II vet, who was honored at the Brewers game yesterday, and thank him for his service. Done. Thank you for that. I do like part of the Brewers game where they always thank somebody for their service. That's a very nice thing. Let's see. From Robin Tigerton. Good morning. Smoke in 65 degrees. I've got 3 yards to mow in the Tigerton area. Yesterday, he mowed 5 yards. Today would have been his mom and dad's wedding anniversary. Wild Thing was the number one song when they got married July 30th of 1966. Also says, thank you, Brittany, for keeping us updated on the tsunami in the Pacific from the earthquake in Russia on her social media last night. Central Wisconsin could have its first extended dry period since Mother's Day back in May. Many farmers will be cutting their third crop of hay. And for the first extended dry spell, many will be baling hay. As a kid on warm, humid weather, it always meant baling hay. That's true. Sherry says she still gets a little itchy, scratchy on days like this, just thinking about being on the hay wagon and stacking all the bales. Doesn't really work like that anymore, by and large, on the farm. But Hans Breitenmoser told us yesterday, you know, he was going to attack that third crop of hay today. But it was a little, getting back to the other thing Rob mentioned, it was a little disturbing to wake up, look at the phone, and the first thing you see is, you know, tsunami warnings all along the West Coast and an 8.8 earthquake off the Russian coast. I mean,
yes, you know, that is so scary. I couldn't go to sleep last night. I saw this happening and I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, that is the eighth strongest ever recorded time for sixth with an 8.8 magnitude. That can cause waves. I mean, that could send a 500-mile-per-hour wave across the ocean, right? So that's why those tsunami warnings were going off. You could just see the videos on social media. It was chilling just hearing that. But thankfully, it didn't look too bad out there.
It has
6 feet above normal in Hawaii and about 3.5 feet above normal waves in California at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And it's so different now, again, because of technology and other advances, that it's nothing like 2004. And, you know, a lot of us of a certain age, you know, those videos of the tsunami that killed more than 200,000 people around the world, you know, that is seared into our memories. And, of course, what happened in Japan several years later. So I'm just hoping that because it wasn't, you know, terribly serious this time, that people don't get complacent in the future about these warnings. We've seen what it can do, but I fear that people will someday forget and just take these warnings for granted. You can't do that.
I fear that, too. People do that with the tornado warnings, and it just breaks my heart.
Yes.
All of these serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're there for a reason. And the reason is not to scare you, but to keep you alive. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get back at 7:15 now to Pat and Parker celebrating the Milwaukee Brewers, because we're totally getting ahead of ourselves. We are already assuming there's going to be a sweep this afternoon. Now that we've jinxed it, let's tell you about the win yesterday, because it was so satisfying. I want to play that clip again from the Brewers Radio Network. Have you got that handy with Andrew Vaughn?
Oh, I've got it.
I can set that up properly, because, again, the Brewers were already ahead. They were leading the Cubs, but I don't have what inning Vaughn hit his home run in.
I believe it was the fifth inning. No, sixth inning.
Yeah. Brewers were already up, but this was the exclamation on top of it. Andrew Vaughn, who already has 21 RBIs since being called up from the minors on July 7th, had six runs batted in yesterday. Four of them sounded like this.
Here's now Vaughn and a drive. Left center and deep. Vaughn! And who wrote this script?
The script of Andrew Vaughn, hitting a grand slam and giving the Brewers a win over the Cubs 9-3. They are going to go for the sweep this afternoon at American Family Field against the Cubs. Coverage begins at 12:35 on Civic Media radio stations throughout the network. And let's see, that is now, what, 15 of the last 18 games when you include that 11-game winning streak?
That's ridiculous.
Best record in baseball right now at 63-43, a two-game lead over the Cubs in the National League Central. Hopefully Jackson Churio's right hamstring spasm is not a serious one. 64-43?
That's what Google's telling.
Okay. We're just two games up on the Cubs. Associated Press is telling me, so you kids go fight it out later on. Quinn Priester started for the Brewers. He now has 10 wins on the season against only two losses. And again, they'll go for the sweep this afternoon with Freddie Peralta on the mound. And then the Brewers will be off tomorrow, heading to the nation's capital for a weekend series against the Nationals, then down to Atlanta early next week, and then they'll start a weekend series next week at home against the New York Mets. So a lot to get excited about over the coming days. You'll recall that last week when I did the show in Oshkosh, I had to spend the evening in Beaver Dam. It was the closest place where you could get a hotel that wasn't $500 a night. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had a very interesting piece yesterday about Beaver Dam. It's something that I did not see. I wish I would have taken more notice of as I was in town there, because you could definitely tell in Beaver Dam, like a lot of cities around Wisconsin, you can tell where some businesses used to be and where there's not activity anymore. And you wonder, where's the next thing going to come from? Is the next thing going to come from somewhere? And that is definitely going to be the case in Beaver Dam, where there is now going to be a big new data center going up, one that hasn't been officially announced, but is definitely on the way. Hundreds of workers in skilled trades are starting to put up the buildings. The farmland was sold at a premium price for a data center that's going to be working on artificial intelligence and cloud computing. And the article is just all about the fact that they are now hiring for the construction for the data center. It is a Waukesha-based company that chose Beaver Dam for the location of a 350,000 square foot Generac plant as well, in part because of a blue collar community of culture there. And so I was just very happy to see all of this good work happening around the Beaver Dam area. We're seeing as well data centers going up in Mount Pleasant and Kenosha and Port Washington. Now, all of this, as we have talked about in our climate check segments in the past, does come with some caveats. There is something about, all of the water that is going to be involved in cooling these data centers. That's a lot of computing power and could have, impact on wells in the area. And more that we don't know about yet. So I'm not telling you that these data centers are going to be a cure-all, but for the current next wave of jobs in Wisconsin communities, if done right, these are things that are positive aspects for some of our smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin, and it was just very nice to read about that. A local update is coming up next for some of you. Others will continue here and have our homeroom segment in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold Unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
The 10 o'clock hour with our friends Craig and Rich from St. Philip's Church here in Rudolph. We're going to talk about their 104th picnic coming up. These guys join us every year. Well, it's always good to see you all. Thanks so much for being here. Melissa, just so you know, they do have the headphones on so they can hear you and interact with you. Guys, how's it going? Good to have you back. How's it been?
Real good. We really enjoy coming here every year. We had a little controversy on scheduling, but
yeah.
I dropped everything just to see James.
Appreciate that.
And put the word out.
Rick has a very busy schedule, so we were glad we could get him.
When I saw that we locked Rick down, I'm like, wow, we got to get there. That's a big one right there. I wanted to make sure Melissa was able to join us for the interview. It's a big interview.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Rick, also for the audio audience out there, Rick also has an amazing shirt on. A fantastic. I love that shirt, man. He's a Callahan Sandusky Tommy Boy shirt. It's fantastic.
Would you buy my brake pads?
Absolutely. Only from you. Only Callahan. That's the only brake pads I'll buy. Guys, I appreciate you being here. I want to dive into this one. Before we get too far into the event, the details, where people can attend and everything, what's it feel like when you look at that, you're planning this out, and you see 104th? What does that feel like to be able to be a part of something like that?
I've been a part of it for years and years. You've been a part of it all your life.
But you a lot longer than me.
I was waiting for it.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, but it's the excitement of seeing old friends that come to the grotto just to come and look at the grotto, and the color right now is just fascinating with all the flowers and stuff like that, and of course the hamburgers and the beverage tent or stand is one of the better ones.
Oh, yeah. The hamburgers are fantastic.
Who makes the hamburgers?
They are fantastic.
This event is world famous at the Grotto Shrine in Wonder Cave. That's where people can check this out. It'll be going on Sunday, August 3rd. There will be Mass at 10 in the church, and all activities will be on the ground. So you don't have to go bopping around too far. It'll be all right there in one location for you, which is always a nice idea. When it comes to how the event has changed over the years, I just want to touch on that just a little bit with you guys, because it's certainly, it's always been well attended, always had a great job by the people preparing this and everything, but I don't know that it's always had the some of the artists or some of the kind of pomp and circumstance that's come with it over the years.
Mm-hmm. The picnic hasn't changed much in all respects. The chicken dinner, they quit doing the chicken dinner back in COVID time, and trying to find help is a hard thing. But the grounds, the games are the same. The bingo for cash prize or for real prizes. They're not. You can go out and pick something out. It's a very nice setup, and just to be outside. And we're supposed to have beautiful weather.
Yeah, I noticed that. Really nice weather coming up over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and like Richard said, since 2020, the chicken dinner is not part of the event, but I feel like we've maybe picked things up a little bit out on the grounds.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
with the refreshments and burgers, french fries, ice cream. I think we've got brats typically. There's music always playing and a lot of stuff. The kids prize or the kids games are always a big hit for families. I think it's kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
To come out with your kids and play some of these small games and get some really nice prizes.
Yeah. Going to the food for a second, I'm pretty sure you guys couldn't have this event if you weren't serving brats. I'm pretty sure in Wisconsin. It's somewhere in the bylaws.
Yeah,
I don't remember where it's
a law. You have to get a license for it.
Yeah, you got to definitely have those. But you have all the summer hits there with the food, so something for everybody. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought up the kids' games, too. Melissa and I are really lucky in this position we're in. We get to talk to a lot of people about a lot of events to go on in the summer. I don't know that we could have enough picnics. I don't know that we could have enough events where the whole family can be there. You can run into people. The what you were talking about, Rich, and the fellowship, and just running into people you maybe only see at this event, or you see them seldom. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things only happen more and more with these events. I don't think we can have enough of them.
Yeah, that's really true, because I think for us, it's our picnic. But boy, there's a lot of people that come out. People you don't typically see throughout the year, and it's a nice opportunity to catch up with people and possibly have a malt beverage and enjoy the weather and everything that we've got going on. So
and doing we have such a long history of doing this picnic. It's practically it's got to be an institution.
Yeah, 104 years. Yeah, a lot longer than we've been around.
Yeah. It's nice to have something older than you.
Well,
There are one thing in doing this job I've learned, if you're going to have an event, if you're going to put on something, you definitely want to serve. If you're going to serve food, you want to have brats. Oh, yeah. And you have to have a raffle. We love raffles around here, and you guys got a nice basket raffle drawing, and that's going to be going on as well, or a basket drawing that's going to
The basket raffle is always a big hit. You can Put your name in for a basket with car wash supplies, or you can put one in for, they may have laundry detergent and stuff like that. And they're always very nice baskets. Lynette Hartz just puts all that together and does a fabulous job with that. And the raffle that we have, we give over $5,000 back.
I had to double check that. That's incredible. Yeah. That's really something right there.
And I'll have to say, in the 104 years that I haven't been here, but a good part of it, I've never won.
Oh, really?
And I buy faithfully every year. Yeah.
I got a feeling this is your year.
Yeah, it might be your year.
It
might
be my year. I'm going to look at that. All right. Yeah.
And all this is fantastic. Everybody's done such a great job putting this together, but we also wanted to mention the Polka Pack. That is going to be going from 11 to 3. What is that exactly for those that don't know, Craig?
The Polka Pack is, it's polka music. I don't know if I necessarily...
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Countries, like any other consumer, are just looking for the best deal. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, talking markets. John Heinberg along with us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing. He has some insights on how international demand is affecting the U.S. market.
It just comes down to the demand side of things and seeing that the other countries are step into, you know, the corn market. We saw that last year with corn. You know, China did not pick up any U.S. corn during the entire export season. If it was, it was very minimal, you know, but we saw other countries just kind of step forward, and European countries, Japan kicked back in. Mexico obviously was the largest buyer of U.S. corn over the last year. And as we're starting to get some 25, 26 sales put together, we're starting to see that those same trends continue. We've seen some pretty good activity in the corn market for new crop corn, or corn being harvested this fall. On the export market, it's mainly been Mexico. South Korea has been an active buyer here the last week or so.
John Heinberg along with us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says right now the U.S. is competitive in price.
Stay with us. I'll have a look at some more news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com. Wisconsin's forestry industry is crucial for the state's economic success. Governor Tony Evers sent a letter to the Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins in the Trump administration. That letter urges immediate action to reverse cuts to investments and staff at USDA. The governor says Wisconsin's forestry industry stands to be negatively impacted. Evers strongly opposed reported reductions in the United States Forest Service programs. The letter comes after Wisconsin officials were recently warned by USFS officials to expect less funding from the Urban and Community Forestry Grant Program. For the full story and more stories like it, visit us online at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter. That'll be delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with some smoky haze and a sprinkle or even a thundershower possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight we'll drop down into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapahoe Way, you got to pray for yourself. as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison Mustard Museum curator Barry Levinson. Then Appleton's Kim Mothy joins to talk Mile of Music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Coming up later today on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6. Coming up today in the 4 o'clock hour, Morris Pearl will discuss the wealthy who don't want a tax break, part of an op-ed in the Washington Post recently. And also in the 4 o'clock hour, Lisa White, a candidate in the 17th State Senate District, where there may be a number of Democrats looking to run against Howard Markline, the State Senate co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. That all coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show later this afternoon across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's take some time right now in our homeroom segment to talk a bit about declining enrollment, state aid, and school referendums. And regular listeners understand how this carousel works. And so rather than listening to me blather on about it, we wanted to bring in an expert, a business manager from one of the school districts where declining enrollment is an issue, and explain how the current state funding system either helps or hurts school districts that are hit with declining enrollment, which, again, is happening for a couple of different reasons. It's not just demographics. It's not just, you know, a generational drop in birth rates. It's also the growth of the voucher program, peeling away kids who whose parents are sending them to private, usually religious schools, and now getting taxpayer-funded assistance, subsidies, to do so. It only makes the declining enrollment problem worse for districts like Chippewa Falls, where Chad Trowbridge is the business manager and joins us this morning. Chad, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. Good morning to you, and thanks for having me today.
Well, we appreciate it. We really respect the job that you do, and we know what a challenge that it is. So let's just start overall with the matter of declining enrollment. I mean, there are only so many school districts that actually are growing population. We don't have that baby boom going on anymore. So we know that declining enrollment is, you know, kind of a regular way of life in so many of our Wisconsin school districts. But do we have a system in place right now so that business managers like you can look at these numbers and say, well, enrollment's declining, but, you know, it, not in a way that's going to cause us to have to make some dire financial choices?
Well, yes, it is definitely a problem statewide, not just for Chippewa Falls. I should point out, you know, I think we were an anomaly over the past 20 or 30 years, while many school districts, you know, certainly in northern Wisconsin and even in Chippewa Valley were declining in enrollment. We were on a growth pattern. So it was a little unique here in Chippewa Falls. We kind of stood out as a place that was growing. And I think, you know, primarily it's the demographic shift that probably has caught us the most. I think we were going to start to experience a decline at the start of the pandemic. That was kind of the first indicator for us that, you know, our lower birth rates entering our kindergarten grades were starting to get smaller. But I do think that the pandemic probably exacerbated that problem just a little bit. It helped or encouraged people to pursue other educational options, you know, be it virtual, be it homeschool. A lot of school age kids went to work during that time. Learning virtually was something that what we found out wasn't the best for the majority of our population. So if, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons for declining enrollment. Certainly the first, you mentioned the demographic shift. Part of it's not scientific. People just don't have as many kids as they used to. And when I say that, a lot of people nod their head. Yep. A lot of people we know either don't have kids or have one kid or two kids. You know, having three kids was a fairly normal sized family a good number of years ago, but you just don't see families that large anymore. Secondly, I think we have an affordable housing problem in our community. And when I say that, I don't mean low-income housing. I mean just the affordability of living, whether it be rental property or purchasing a home. You know, the median home price is higher than two income earners with good jobs can't afford. That's not going to encourage families to come to our community. Another piece that, you know, we often wonder about is jobs. We're a big employer for the size of the city of Chippewa Falls. There are a lot of jobs in our community, but are they jobs that cause people to move here? We believe that a good portion of our jobs here are commuter jobs, meaning people who live in the periphery of Chippewa Falls drive here to come to work. And then also, much like many communities, there's a shortage of daycare spaces available. We're pretty blessed in Chippewa Falls to have very high quality daycares. There just aren't enough of them. And if we have commuters coming to Chippewa Falls for employment, perhaps bringing their kids to daycare, it just makes that lack of daycare space all the much worse. And like you mentioned, there are other educational options, which is probably a good thing for parents and students to have choices in education. But ultimately, you know, those factors all contribute to kind of the statewide decline in it. And we're actually going to see a demographic shift in our total population. In Chippewa Falls, the largest portion of our population is an older generation, which at some point in time, you know, will turn over. I hate to say it that way, but as when that occurs, you know, we're curious about what's going to happen with real estate and homes and, you know, what's going to turn into those properties? Are they going to become rentals? Are they going to become family homes? Or are they going to turn into something else?
Yeah, these are all valid questions when you talk about, commuter employment. Another one of them is virtual. We've seen some small communities essentially reinvent themselves by saying, hey, we're the place where you can live, and we've put in broadband internet so that you can continue to, you know, work from up north in your office in Chicago, you know, or New York, or wherever the case may be. Chippewa Falls has also seen, of course, like other communities, you know, jobs come and go, whether it's, you know, Cray Supercomputers or Mason Shoe back in the day. Just a big shift in technology versus manufacturing and high-tech manufacturing. I spoke earlier this hour about Beaver Dam and how its fortunes are being turned around by a data center that's going in, and that might be the linchpin for new enrollment. But again, every school district is facing its challenges with declining enrollment at some point in time, for all the reasons that you outlined. And so here's where we get into the notion of how does state aid help or hurt in that situation? So the two examples I always use are classrooms and school buses. You might go from a classroom of 25 kids to 22 kids. You might have a school bus that goes from, you know, carrying 40 kids to 35 kids. You still got to turn on the lights. You still got to put gas in the bus because it's going to take pretty much the same route, just skip a few houses. And yet, with declining enrollment, how is it that you lose state aid? Is it a one-for-one thing, or is there a way that that can be augmented without having to go to the property taxpayer?
I'll touch on that, and I'm going to shift gears for just a second. So state aid is really a factor of the expenses the district makes per property value per student. So if we have a high student population and a high property value, that kind of works out pretty well economically. But if we have a low student population and a high property value, and you think about some of our more northern region school districts, at least that's the best example here we have locally, you know, they have a very low student population, but a very high property value. The state aid formula doesn't really benefit them at all. But it really comes back to the revenue. Revenue limits were put in place for Wisconsin schools back in 1994. And it was really a kind of a three-pronged approach to ultimately controlling property taxes at the time. And they called it the three-legged stool. It was based on the premise of a revenue limit, a qualified economic offer, and two-thirds funding of education at the state level. Well, qualified economic offer went away with Act 10 in around 2011, 2012, And then the two-thirds funding commitment for state aid has also gone away. So the only prong that's left is revenue limits. And ultimately, what for a lot of schools that were not in declining enrollment, the revenue limit just hadn't kept pace with inflation. And for us, during the time of the pandemic, there was a lot of federal money that was thrown at education. And the intent of that money was to bolster education. Well, here in Wisconsin, there weren't revenue limit increases. And it was the message was loud and clear, use your federal dollars to plug your budget hole. We were all saying, hey, okay, well, that can work. We understand that. But we have to have a way to backfill that federal revenue when it goes away. And in the last biennial budget, I think our state did as good as they can. They did increase the revenue limit, but it was only about half of what was lost from the exit of federal funding. So we were saying that in this 25-27 biennial budget, our state is going to have to double down because school districts were still short of revenue. They didn't get inflationary increases during that time. And it was at a time when we've seen some of the highest inflation rates in the past decade. So that kind of has compounded over time. And if you recall, Governor Evers used his veto pen to give school districts a $325 per pupil increase for, at the time, it was 400 years. Well, there's 398 years remaining in that. So we are going to get a $325 per pupil increase. That's great, but it doesn't backfill any of that revenue. And when we talk about this $325 per pupil, it's a good increase. It's less than 3%. So it sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not. It's really just, you know, plus or minus inflation here or there. And I always say before Act 10, when revenue limits were indexed to inflation, we were seeing consumer price index and the revenue limit at $271 per pupil. So 271 13 years ago versus 325 today really doesn't make up a gap anywhere. So in the revenue limit, that's made up of two factors. It's state aid and property taxes. So if there's an increase in the revenue limit, it should technically be split between state aid and property tax. The legislature did not put any money into the state aid formula. So when we look at this year's revenue limit, it's going to increase taxation at a time where state aid is not going to go up. So it's going to create a local burden here. And really for any school district in the state of Wisconsin, there will be some aid distribution based on each individual school district statistics. But for us, we're very close to average, so we would expect it to be fairly neutral. So when we went, Chippewa Falls School District went to an operational referendum in 2024, and we did that for 3 years. We had some declining enrollment issues, some exit of federal funding issues that were creating a deficit for us. We did a three-year operational referendum, $2.5 million a year for 3 years, because we wanted to get through this biennial budget process to determine if revenue was backfilled, there would lessen the need for an operational referendum. But if it was not sufficient, we would have to go back to an additional operational referendum at some point in time. So,
and I definitely see that's in the cards for many school districts when you put zero new dollars into it. It's a great explanation of the situation. Chad Trowbridge, the business manager for the Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District, thank you very much for the background on it, Chad. I know what a challenging time this is, but thanks for taking a little time to offer up some explanation and background for our listeners.
Thanks for having me, Pat. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day. Local update is next for some of you. Others, we'll talk to Jimmy Cuska about some of the stories that he is following. And as a school board member himself, may have a few things to say about, coming up from our homeroom segment. And in our next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram. We'll be getting an update from James Kelly from Civic Media about headlines he's covering around Northwest Wisconsin. So much still ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Thursday, July 31st at 6:35 is Healthcare Appreciation Night with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. On this Thirsty Thursday, we partner with Aspirus Health to recognize our healthcare heroes. The first 750 fans through the gates will receive a Coach Ziggy bobblehead presented by Aspirus Health. Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Winter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and Aspirus Healthcare.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last year, we reported that the Georgia State Board of Elections passed new rules aimed at disrupting or overturning the 2024 presidential election. One of those rules, allowing members of county election boards to do their own investigation before certifying an election, was just unanimously struck down. In July and August 2024, the Georgia State Board of Elections laid the groundwork for obstructing or overturning the presidential election. One element granted individual members of county election boards the power to do a reasonable inquiry of election results prior to certifying, potentially sowing chaos and delaying the outcome. The effort by three state election board members, all outspoken Trump loyalists, was part of an apparent scheme in swing states to use the specter of voting by non-citizens as a pretext. The Georgia Supreme Court refused to hear a GOP appeal of a stay of the rules before the election. Trump won the election in Georgia, so unsurprisingly, no objections to certification materialized. June 11th, the Georgia Supreme Court struck down four of the rules. Another case contesting the reasonable inquiry rule was decided by the Georgia Appeals Court July 2nd. The court unanimously concluded that election officials could voice concerns about an election to state authorities, but, quote, have a mandatory duty to certify all election results, unquote. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 29th, 2025. Have your host, James, and we are going to have some fun in the next bit of time here because we have the WRCT Youth Theater production of the Brothers Grimm Spectacular-a-thon with us today. Got some of the cast, got the director with us. I want to let you guys introduce yourselves so we can have the audience put a voice to the name and all that, and I'll start at the end here.
Hello, I am Stephanie. I am the director.
And it's always good to see you, Steph. Yes, thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm narrator number one.
All right, good to see you, Elizabeth. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm Cadence, and I am Enchantress.
Cadence, great to meet you. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate the time, you guys. I'm going to put you both to work in a little bit, but I want to bug Steph for a moment first because with these plays, and for people that may not know a lot, some of the youth production and some of the things that they do at WRCT, you've been at this for quite some time.
This is actually my 20th show I've directed.
I was going to ask.
Yep.
Oh, congratulations.
In about 21 years, so yeah.
Congrats, Steph.
Thank you. Thanks.
That is really, really cool.
Yep.
And very impressive.
Thank
and
you.
As much I love history and I love rambling about theater and this theater in particular and the history of this and your history tied to it and with Hopo in particular and everything you and Gretch and stuff. Just before we dive too far into things, I was going to ask the number, but I didn't think about this. What's it feel like to be part of like 20 of these?
That's so gotta feel pretty good. 18 Hope, well, children's theater, because I started directing children's theater before Hopo was created. I've done two main stage shows as a director as well, but this is my 20th overall production. But Gretchen and I co-starred co-founded HOPO back in 2009. So this is actually the 15th year of HOPO as well. So yeah.
That's awesome. It's got to feel really good to be.
Oh, absolutely. Every single year except for 2020, we did an online thing because of COVID, but otherwise it's been going strong every year and more because this year we had a record number of people audition too. So
that is fantastic.
Yeah.
When it comes to this though, especially in the early days of HOPO, you don't exactly have the budget to be able to go buy Oklahoma or something like that. So you, like a little bit like the theater group I was in high school, we had a similar situation. We're like, okay, well, we're going to write the scripts. Mm-hmm. We're just going to come up with these ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that sounds great. Like in the first minute, when you first think about it, then you're like, oh yeah, then I got to write a script still.
Right.
Like and all of that. You've written a lot of these over the
years. I've actually never written one.
I should say I've been a part of that process and everything. But when it comes to, are you part of the ideas of for the scripts or anything?
Oh, yeah,
like
I find
that?
Them.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I look online for them. I find... typically, I've gone to the same website quite often, but this script is by an author I've used once before. I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. He writes... crazy, like fantastically ridiculous scripts. We did Game of Tiaras back in 2020 at the middle school, and that was like a Game of Thrones with Disney characters, basically. That's all you need to know. And fantastic, beautiful, lovely. This is the same thing. Grimm Brothers in their original format, you know, dark, but also funny. So
which is perfect for this age range. Yeah. I love the way that this has been broken down this year for the kids, where it's really set up by age ranges.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. There's, I mean, we have our four narrators, and they kind of have talking. They talk and interact with the audience. There's audience participation, and then the stories unfold, and the stories happen, you know, so the little groups and the little stories, like there's, you know, four or five people in one story, so they all have their moments to shine, so to speak, and fantastic for rehearsal purposes, but also just, we have a lot of things in this show where things are literally flying off on stage, off stage, people throw, a baby gets thrown on stage, and they catch it, and they're like, oh, look, it's my baby, it's beautiful, throws them off, and then the next crown comes flying on. The things are flying all over the place. Yes.
We could stop the interview right there, and we're going to get a good turnout. Like, you just sold it so well. That's fantastic. When it comes to choosing what play, I'm curious, is a big part of it about some of the fun you described there, but just as much a big cast? I know that you really want
to
cast a lot.
I have to look for a larger cast. Back in the day when we first started, I had to look for a part for myself because I used to be in the plays. No more do I do that. Easy rehearsal. We do the show in a week and a half. So I also have to find something that's not terribly complicated. I mean, there are little mini monologues in this show, but and some of the cheating that we can do for this specifically, the narrators, they're referring and reading stories. So if we have to put little things for them to actually read, that it makes it natural.
Works.
So yeah,
it works with the play.
Absolutely.
So choosing this one, it seems like a no-brainer in many ways.
I mean, I feel like because I've been doing this for so long, I can figure out in the first five pages if I'm going to like it and want to even continue reading it. This one, I was like, I was sold in the first page. So absolutely, yeah.
When it came to the audition, and I'm not asking this because I'm going to be a part of this process very soon, and I don't know what I'm doing yet. I imagine, for one, it's got to be a fun part of things. I know, as much as it can be challenging and nerve-wracking in some ways, it's fun, I imagine, to, you know, be able to take all this in.
Yeah.
But how did the audition process go?
Well, we got through maybe a third of what I wanted to because I had 68 people audition. And I got as many as I could in that short amount of time. My biggest thing when I'm picking scenes or parts to have them audition is if I want a very specific characterization, if I want a specific accent, if I want a specific, I want to see the chemistry between these two people, accents, voices, laughs, cackles, any of that stuff, I will put into the audition as much as I can because I need to know if they can give that to me. And especially doing it in a week and a half, they obviously all grow. They all have, you know, from start to finish, there's phenomenal growth in that short amount of time. But also, I have very short amount of time. If they're not there at auditions, they're probably not going to be 100% there at performances either, you know? So, so it's a combination of chemistry, of, as I said, like voices and accents or laughter, or if there's ever singing, any things like that. Absolutely.
There's some stuff there I wouldn't have thought of. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That.
I got pointers all over the place if you need it.
I'll be bugging you again.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Especially like a month before the show premieres and everything.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm doing. That is cool to hear, and thank you for sharing that with us. And as some of the people that we're auditioning for that, we have with us Elizabeth and Cadence. I want to take some time talking with you two a little bit. about those characters. And first, let's start with the audition process. You show up, there's that many people. I get that. I've dealt with that a lot, but I'm also, it's a professional setting, so you expect that. You guys are walking in as kids into this and everything. I imagine that there's some nerves, but also some excitement, right?
Yeah, it's a little, it's obviously a little, like, nerve-wracking, because, like, you're in a room full of a bunch of people, but it's, most of them you know, and it's just, like, you get to mess around with your friends for, like, an hour, and then you get to be in a play with them. It's like...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. One of the largest earthquakes ever recorded hit eastern Russia. It shook furniture and triggered a tsunami. Bust waves as tall as 15 feet led to warnings in Japan, Hawaii, and the California coast. They've all been lifted now. Hawaii County Mayor Kimo Alameda is cautiously optimistic.
We're under an advisory, and an advisory is still precautions that we got to take. We don't know how the energy of the waves plays out with the topography of the islands, and it can be kind of tricky. So we're keeping an eye on that.
Maui County's Mayor Richard Bisson.
Right now, no reports of any damage, no injuries. Really happy with our first responders. Our fire department made a few rescues.
Atmospheric scientist Matthew Capucci.
It's absolutely enormous. The biggest anywhere worldwide since the Japanese earthquake of 2011, and the sixth largest earthquake ever recorded by seismologists. So it's simply enormous.
CBS News Special Report.